would you please determine a quorum?
Yes. Jay Lister.
Here.
Cheryl File.
Here.
Katie Holmland.
Here.
Megan Lister.
Here.
Sarah Holmgren.
Here.
Okay. We have a quorum.
Great. All present. Please stand so quickly.
Well, there we go.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. On to approval of the agenda. I'll make a motion to approve September 8th, 2020 agenda. If I can have a second?
I'll second it.
Motion's been made and seconded by Jay. Any discussion? Thank you, hearing none. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Correspondence? Do we have any?
We do not.
Okay. Moving on to comments from audience unrelated to agenda items. Do we have anybody online?
We do not have anyone online.
Any board members? Okay, seeing that, I'll move on to comments from the audience related to agenda items. Nobody online for that either? Okay.
No one online.
Okay. Comments from board members?
I don't know if I should wait for, like, when I hear from the principals first to ask questions.
Is it related to that?
Yeah.
You probably. Oh, okay.
Is that fine?
I would be fine with it. Okay. Because we can always, if there's something that isn't addressed, we could always get with either other new business or.
Right.
Okay. Right. All right. I'll move on to number 9, consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded, and those include our financial reports, our special board meeting minutes, regular meeting minutes, and our duty contract. Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? Okay, hearing no discussion. Mark, will you please call the roll?
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Megan Lister.
Yes.
Katie Holmland.
Yes.
Cheryl File.
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 5-0. Okay, moving on to administrative reports. We'll start with Lieutenant Cook Tanger.
Okay. Well, here we are. We have made it through our first week of school. We are into our second week, and we are off to a good start. I want to recognize the admin team and our amazing staff and our families and students actually out there who have really come in and helped make this a great start. Also want to recognize all the work that's going on throughout the summer and continues this fall with our maintenance and custodial staff, our food service, and just our support staff in general. A lot of work has gone into getting off the ground, and we're going, so we are excited about that. I will keep the details to the principal. They've got lots to say about how things have gone the first week or so. So lots of excited kids around. It's been really nice to have a little bit of normalcy, even though it's not totally normal. I think people have been excited to be back, so it's been a great start. We've been dealing with a little bit of some travel, you know, having to work through all these things that really have nothing to do with school, but now they have to do with school. So just travel policies related to people coming from out of state, so students and families coming back to town this summer and just working through some logistics there, and then just thinking about travel, you know, out of state as things kind of go along this fall, I think will be challenging, but just, you know, trying to work within the mandates that are out there. So that's been interesting, thinking about that and coming back and working through needing to get second tests at 7 to 10 days and all those sorts of things. So we're working through that, and we're just really looking forward to things continuing the way they are, if all fingers crossed, and people doing the things that they need to here at school, and just in general, hoping to extend our hours here soon in this last week of September and be opening up a little bit more with more time on campus for students, and we're excited about that. So things are going along really, really well, and I'm going to leave the details to the admin team. So thank you.
Any questions? Okay, we'll move on to elementary principals report. Both Heather Collins.
Hello, can you guys hear me just fine?
We're going to turn you up. Hold on, Mara's standing.
Okay, Heather, try again.
All right, can you guys hear me better?
Yep.
Okay. Well, we did it. Yay, if you could see me. My hands are up in the air cheering it on. That was a great first day last week. There was smiles all the way around, so it was a lot of fun. And we did it. We pulled off Introduction to My Child conferences. We had a hot dog cookout with a virtual kickoff. And we are in week two. We are taking our Fridays right now to do some professional development, taking our planning time and grade level collaboration to try to organize what our green, our low risk schedule will look like. So taking some time to really figure that in and dive it. And then the teachers are spending a lot of their time, not a lot of their time, sorry, they're interacting with they're teaching using the tools that we would teach in a high-risk situation in our red. So they're having the students work through their Seesaw portals. They're having the students work through Google Classroom so that when it, if it ever gets to a red situation or high risk, that they will be ready to take those home and know what to do with little to no assistance. So we have been working on that the last week, as well as team building, relationship building, socialization. So that's a lot of fun. Lots of giggles, lots of laughs. And it's just really good to be back. And thank you guys for everything that you have done, everything that the community's done, and to support us.
Great. Thank you. I will say my kiddo was very excited to be back, and she had a great first week as well. Any other comments from board members or questions?
Heather, I have a question.
Sure.
How the student ratio, because I noticed in quite a few classes, there was like 10 kids in the morning and only 4 in the afternoon.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's fine.
The most that there are in an AM class is 8 kiddos on the AM class, and then the least is 4 kiddos in the PM class. We tried our how we did that was the child care centers actually got first priority over everyone on that, because Eagle's Nest is only an afternoon program, Kinderskog is only an afternoon program, and then the academy is both a morning and an afternoon, so we had to split 15 and 15 there. And then after they got first priority at where those kids went, then we had to group according to social bubble. And so that's those two things right there are really where you see the offset of numbers. So from an 8 to a 4 in the afternoon, but some teachers have 7 in the afternoon and 4 or 5 in the morning. So we really had to look at that, and all their social bubbles are put together in one class, and as well as all Eagle's Nest or Kinderskog or the after school academy, because those are their social bubbles. But the child care centers need a very specific organization of AM and PM.
Any
other questions? Okay. Thank you, Principal Kahn. We'll next
move on to Principal
Dormer from middle school and high school. All right. Good evening. Can you hear me okay? Mm-hmm. Excellent. Great. Well, my report is very similar to Heather's, just really excited to have kids back in the buildings again, since the last time was early March. And it was a fantastic first week. It continues to go very well. And it's just really great. Kids are beyond amazing as far as, you know, following protocols and doing their very best. And teachers, of course, are working really hard to make the spacing, you know, keep it there, but still make it feel like a classroom. And they're and everyone's having success. It's really exciting to see kids back in class and teaching happening and learning happen, and you know, kids are stable to connect. So it's been pretty good. The we're still adjusting processes, you can imagine, but those are just minor adjustments as we go here and there. Teachers, again, like I said, working hard just to make the adjustments. There's a lot of new ways of delivering instruction when you have, you know, kids in person and then a lot of kids zooming in at home, and working with some new tech again, which is fantastic. Thank you to get our tech department and their crew. But there's a lot of adjustments and stuff, but it is going really well. It's, like I said, it's exciting to see kids engaged. We're still having kids returning. We had some kids return from fishing even just this week, which is awesome. And I know we still have a few more kids coming in. We're still having kids register for school. So it's still obviously early in the year, even though we're almost in mid-September and working through that. And of course, as the superintendent alluded to, we're thinking and talking about kind of planning for that 25th, and we start really seeing if green can happen, and hopefully we can get all the kids back in the building, and that's going to be pretty awesome. So really off to a great year so far. It's been pretty exciting. Like I said, we've just been planning for months for this, so it's always exciting when things come into play and they happen well. So that's pretty cool. Just for keep encouraging folks, keep checking the calendar, that school district calendar that can be found on the website. Check the school website, like our picture days are up there now, September 22 and 23. So Sea Prince Photography continues to offer that great service. So again, we are in school and it's mid-September, so tests like the ASVAB, that happens next week. And Ms. Turner's been reaching out, connecting with kids that might apply to other tests. You may see like the SAT coming up at the end of the month, which is only a few weeks away. So thanks, Ms. Turner, for all our organization. But check out the website. There's an excellent, very clean testing calendar. So if your child's in that, where they're in their planning for their post-high school career and need some of those exams, check that information out and contact our office, or Ms. Turner will work that out. We still hope to get a middle school laptop rollout for our middle school students. They're doing great with Chromebooks at home and MacBooks at the school. But we still want to talk to kids. It's just a great opportunity to talk with parents about learning and distance learning, and of course just being safe on those laptops. Even those Chromebooks, not as powerful as a MacBook, still have a lot of power and a lot of access, so it's good to have those. And then we still hope to do our map testing as we do every fall, just to get some levels to compare as we work throughout the year and continue to learn, and it gives us some great third-party data to talk about. So a lot of those typical things again are all happening a little bit later, but they're still happening, and again we're off to a good start. So really excited for that, so thankful that kids and their staff, and again, as Heather said, the community support. So thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Dormer, this is Jay Lister. I just want to know what's going well and what's not going well with this new hybrid schedule.
What is going well is that kids are masking with, we kind of worried we'd get, you know, there's a lot of political agendas out there, and I have not had any issues like that. You know, kids are still figuring it out, but masking, social distancing, they're doing really well. I know it's not perfect, and we have to remind them every now and then, but they're really doing well. They're not, you know, kind of fighting the system, you know, kind of thing. They really want to be safe. I think they really want to be there. There's good energy about that. I think what's complicated is little things like, we're really excited about our food service program. Thank you, Carly Johnson. We have free breakfast and free lunches now. This is federal grant money, not school district money. And so to offer that, but we're adding things like lunch counts. We've never done lunch counts in the secondary in my time. And so we're trying to figure stuff out there. It is tricky, obviously, to teach, you know, when you have kids at home and there, and their teachers are getting better and better at it, at connecting there. But I just had a conversation with one of our teachers talking about wants to give an in-person, you know, a paper test, but to know you have 2 days, you have to give up 2 days to give the test and to maintain the security. You don't want kids to take a test home. You know, so little nuances like that were so easy when you had all your kids are complicated, not impossible, but they're more of a challenge and that takes a little more time. You know, so those type of minor adjustments. Does that make sense, Jay?
Yeah, thank you. I have one other question too. We were kind of worried about the kids with some of this condensed schedule and whether we have any casualties of these kids not being able to, they're getting frustrated or not being able to do well. Do we have any plans to mitigate or watch for these kids that are struggling or plans to help them?
Right. No, we've talked a little bit as a staff. One of our big, as I said, we're expecting and know we have some kids out fishing coming back, but missing that much time is a little more hurtful and takes a little more catch up. I just spoke with a middle school family today that has some family stuff going on and they're going to miss a couple weeks of school. And I know that's still middle school, but this early in the year with all new processes hurts. It's difficult. So we're talking about using those Fridays have been one way we've been trying to get kids up a little bit ahead, you know, before they leave, and then obviously time to catch them up. We have, we've moved those conferences to be earlier, so hopefully we can catch kids and families early on. And there's just a lot of conversations about how kids are doing. So far, obviously, I know we're early, but kids have been great, and teachers are, you know, are working through that time appropriately. It seems like it's been going pretty well, but I know as we get farther in, you know, just a day here and a day there really adds up on this tightened schedule. So we've been talking about it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Garber. Okay.
You bet.
We now move on to Director of Facilities, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, we skipped Jamie.
Oh, whoops. Oh, sorry, Jamie.
It's all good. I thought you guys changed scenarios there. I was ready, though. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Well, just to give you guys an update on activities, we have been rolling since July 29th and going well. Middle school cross country started August 28th since the last time we met, as well as our swim and dive program has started on the 2nd of September, last week Wednesday, and then the high school volleyball season begins tomorrow. So we are moving away pretty good with all of our different plans in place. And we did come up with a success this past weekend. We had our travel mitigation plan all set for Klawock for our high school cross country team. And that went off very well. The weather helped out tremendously of us jet boating over to Kaufman Cove in record time, I believe, because of how nice the water was. And it was a success. Kids did extremely well. Klawock was a great host. Everything ran as smooth as it could be. And so we had one success there with our first travel trip of the year, and then we will kind of navigate for the rest of the year on what travel looks like with the rest of our seasons that are coming up. With high school activities, as you know, with the high school swim season got moved back a month. High school wrestling recently just got moved back to a November 2nd start date instead of a September 28th start date. They are going to look at that again, possibly September 23rd from the state perspective, to kind of get an idea if that is a good date to start wrestling, especially with the conflicts of basketball season with the smaller schools and sharing of students. So that is still up in the air. The basketball season will be revisited September 23rd by the state association. And so we got a lot of dates moving around, but right now we've got our four activities rolling. And then as soon as cross country is over in the middle school, we will move into Frisbee golf as our next intramural activity, as we have changed that that whole program of what middle school activities look like. This Saturday, we are working on a mitigation plan for a time trial for our middle school students so they can get some times. And we're gonna try and work on a virtual meet with Schoenbar Middle School this weekend as they have moved to an intramural program as well. So our middle school kids will kind of have that almost kind of official race with themselves against the clock and possibly Schoenbar. So that is what has been happening in the activities world. Questions?
I just don't commend you for the creativity at the middle school level.
Thank you. No, it's going to be fun.
I almost, not quite, want to be in middle school yet.
Come on down. We're thinking, I think a lot of the teaching staff would like some of those activities too. So maybe we'll do we'll do some of a teacher school board cornhole or something of that sort.
Hey, Jamie, this is Jay. How are you keeping volleyball kids in smaller groups? I guess that's the question I had for the practices.
That's a good question. So what it does, it makes a longer day for my coaching staff, which is myself right now. So right now there's a maximum of 15 that we will put in the gymnasium, including myself. So it's about 12 students. So I'm bringing them in for about an hour and 15 minutes, and then about a 15 to 20 minute gap for cleaning and disinfecting, and then bringing my next group in. The challenge will be is if I have about 30 kids or 35 kids come in, it'll just make a longer day for me coaching three different sessions. So that's what that's going to look like as far as volleyball wise. So right now we're about two different sessions, but if we have more numbers, awesome. It just makes a longer day for the coaching staff who's going to work through a bunch of different students. So the reason why we're going about an hour and 15, hour and a half tops is because they're indoors. And so our ventilation system is rolling really well. Thanks, Ralph, for having that thing rolling in the gymnasium. The circulation is going real well. And the new recommendation, so our mitigation plans change a lot as we get new information from the Federation and everything else. So every 14 minutes, we are sanitizing the volleyballs. So we're bringing a new basket in. And so that set of volleyballs will get sanitized. And then the next 14 minutes, we get another bucket out. We switch them out. So every 14 minutes, we're doing a switch of volleyballs that are getting sanitized in between, which works out really good. But this 14 minutes goes by real quick. And so at those times are just built in water break, hand sanitize, and hand washing breaks built into that 14 minutes too. And it's working really well. We did a couple open gyms this past week. So tomorrow, what we'll see is a group coming in from 4:30 to about 6. And then there's a 15 minute gap before the next group comes in while we sanitize all the equipment. They don't touch the nets. They don't touch the poles. They just come in with their stuff. We practice, and then that group gets out, and then we clean and get ready for the next group coming in. So it'll just be a longer day for me.
Do they have to wear masks while they're playing?
No. So they do not have to wear a mask when involved in vigorous activity, but they come in with a mask and then they exit with a mask while we're doing the screening process. They can wear a mask during participation if they want to, just as long as it meets the Federation standards for safety. None of those big, heavy plastic masks, just because if they fall on the floor. And surprisingly, they do keep quite a bit of distance when you start thinking the 6 feet in a volleyball practice or game. They're really spread out. You know, even one of the most common drills of Pepper, they're about 12 feet away. But we do have that shared equipment of the volleyball. So that's why that 14 minutes is every single 14 minutes we're switching in the new balls. That way it's clean and sanitized and disinfected.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments? Hey, thank you, Mr. Cabral.
Thank you.
We'll move on to 10.5. Director of Facilities and Maintenance Report, Mr. Ralph Johnson.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
So I apologize. My neighbor decided it was time to weed eat his yard. So if you hear a weed eater in the background, that's my neighbor. So from a facility standpoint, things are going well. We're learning new stuff every day. In addition to all the stuff that the crew did over the summer, you know, deep clean all the classrooms, extending the playground, which isn't complete yet because we're missing a few of the padding items, the grassy area over the elementary school. We also had to prepare for reopening the school in response to COVID. And then we had to develop, you know, cleaning and sanitizing protocols based off of CDC guidance. And right now, I think probably one of the biggest struggles is just finding time to actually do everything the CDC wants us to do, and find proper commercially available COVID rated chemicals. So right now we're using a product by the name of Pure Tabs. It's a hypochlorous acid, and it's safe to the touch, you know, and you don't need any special PPE when using it. And it's been distributed to every classroom along with hand sanitizer and sanitizing wipes and towels and all this other stuff. But it's just a matter of just staying on top of it. We've added one custodian for nighttime to do restrooms using a product called QT. And the reason we shifted that to the nighttime and the QT product is because it requires a fresh water rinse and it takes 10 minutes to kill COVID, where the stuff we're using in the classrooms only takes 1 minute to kill COVID. So, but like I said, we're learning every day. We're learning what we can do, how long things take, if there's any shortcuts that we can do that aren't detrimental to the health and safety of the staff and students. So, but that's pretty much where we're at with the facilities. Any questions?
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay. All right, we'll move move on to committee reports, and I'm going to guess that probably hardly any have met just because we've just started school, but I'll run through them anyway. Crisis, Cheryl? Curriculum, Katie?
No.
Facilities, Jay? No legislative liaison. We don't have negotiations. Policy, we need to set up a date for meeting. We keep saying that. I think we kind of want to wait till school got going and let you guys kind of settle before we start in on that. Technology? Okay. And wellness? Okay. All right. Moving on to the 12 special recognition. We'd like to recognize our wonderful, amazing superintendent, Erica Painter. It's a birthday today. She gets suspended indoors on a sunny day at a board meeting.
I'm happy to be here with all of you.
But we do have something for you. Go ahead.
I'm hoping the volume comes through, otherwise I might have to adjust, but.
Yes, I am.
Very happy birthday. Thank you for all you do.
Oh, that was so nice. Thank you.
And then this was your from your staff.
Oh. Somebody wants me to travel. How nice would that be?
One day you'll be able to get away.
You too.
Have a vacation.
Oh, how nice. Well, thank you all so much. I really wouldn't want to be anywhere else than with all of these wonderful people in this room and all of the amazing people that I work with every day. And thank you. I appreciate it. I like Rick's, what is it, 20th anniversary
episode. Oh, like a look at it.
I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
All right. We will move on to old business, and there isn't any, so we'll move on to new business. So, 14.1, resignation retirement. The board accepts the retirement of Kelly O'Connor Demko, effective August 13th, 2020, and the resignation of Julie Anderson, effective August 17th, Carly Beyer, effective September 11th, and Paula Akers, effective October 30th, 2020. They are accepted by the superintendent on behalf of the board, according to our board policy 4117.2. Next, we'll move on to 14.2, leave of absence. Shelley Johnston, instructional aide, and Brittany Petruski, instructional aide, but have both requested a leave of absence to accept a temporary teaching position in the elementary school. Pierceburg School District's classified negotiation agreement, Article 14.07, allows for a one-year leave of absence approval at the discretion of the superintendent. Upon completion of the year of leave, the employee will be rehired. And apparently we need to vote on approving the leave of absence. So I will make a motion to approve the leave of absence for 1 year for Shelley Johnston, instructional aide, and Brittany Petruski, instructional aide. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Meg. Any discussion? We're all pretty clear on why they're asking for a leave of absence, because they've accepted a position as a teacher in a year or so. Motion's been made and seconded. Mark, can you call the roll?
Meg Litzer?
Yes.
Kay Holman?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgreen?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to 14.3, the personnel hire for middle school special education teacher. Tyler Thane has been recommended to be hired for the open special education middle school teacher position for the 2021 school year. I will make a motion to... Oh, wait, we don't have to do that, do we? For personnel hire. You get to hire him, and we're... No, we are approving. I'm sorry. I'm having
some
a break.
There's money there, so yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. I'll make a motion to approve the hire of Tyler Thane as the special education middle school teacher for the school year 2021. Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded by Katie. Any discussion? Is he certified already to teach, or is he...
He is almost finished with his
certification. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
I have a quick question. This is Meg. So it's for the 2021 school year. Will that be... How does that work? Because that's like a regular open position for us, right? Mm-hmm. So does it get reposted, or...
I think we're going to repost all, or see where we are at the end of the year and go ahead and repost. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So it's just a one-year position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was more of an open, like you say, throughout the summer and into that whole thing, but it is still technically an emergency certificate, so.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that was the, okay. Cause
yeah.
With the emergency certificate, that made him eligible.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
They've all been great, all these new people, good energy, and willing to step up, so.
Yep, win-win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to approve the hire of Tyler Thane for special education middle school teacher for the school year 2020-21. Mark, please call the roll.
Sarah Holmgreen?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Meg Lister?
Yes.
The motion passes 5-0. Next, we move on to 14.4, temporary certified personnel hire. I will make a motion to approve the temporary contract hire of Kylie Swanson for kindergarten, Shelley Johnston for third grade, Amy Wilkes for third grade, Jamie Eddy for fourth grade, Brittany Petruski for fifth grade, and Casey Gates for sixth grade. Can I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Discussion? Are we reading the contract and it's through the school year, calendar year, or is it just through December?
We are offering these through the school year.
Okay, that's good.
And we are utilizing the COVID CARES Act funding through the borough and then also through the state after December 31st.
So the state has funding for these positions after?
Well, there's CARES Act funding that we've received in addition to general fund, and then we're making use of the borough CARES Act funding during these first few months within the contract.
Because that sunsets first, right?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we had enough to get through the earlier. Okay. Any questions or comments? Okay, motion's been made and seconded to approve the temporary contract hire of Kylie Swanson, Shelley Johnston, Amy Wilkes, Jamie Eddy, Brittany Petruski, and Casey Gates. Mara, please call the roll.
Cheryl Files?
Yeah.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Lindgren?
Yes.
Meg Lister?
Yes.
Kate Holman?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to 14.5. Approval of.
You actually don't need to approve that.
I was thinking on transfer, isn't it? Just okay. So this is more informational for us as well as the public, but we had some certificated transfers within the school district in order to handle the changes for this unique school year. And for the 2021 school year, Eliza Warmack has been moved from reading specialist to the first and second grade split classroom to a classroom teacher. And that's the only one, right? So that was just more informational for the community as well as us. 14.6, we have some classified personnel hire. So I will make a motion to approve the hire of Adam Ware, temporary evening custodian, Carla Sosa, food service aide, Augusta Franklin for instructional aide for the middle school, and Brandon Ware, instructional aide for the middle school high school. Second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? So does this get us fully staffed at this point with these hires, or do we still have empty spots?
We are still posted, but we will need an elementary a classified position, and I believe one more middle high school, depending on the Paul Akers designation at the end of October, so we have a little bit of time for kind of transferring out. And,
right.
Yeah. Shifting around.
Did you say elementary classified?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, Jay. I saw your hand right aside. Open my mouth.
Following up with our custodian staff, you said that it really stressed her time to clean. Do we have enough custodian staff on the day shift to help?
We still have a position posted, so.
Oh, for custodian staff during the day?
Okay. Yep. So we've hired Adam, does some of the afternoon, evening. And then, so right now, we've kind of got Ross and Rance that are doing some of the work during the elementary school shift during the day.
Yep. And we have one more position that we're still looking for.
Mm-hmm. We may all lead on somebody who used to work for us, so who could be available to us through December. No. Like 99%.
We might have someone next week.
Yes, we might have somebody next week.
Okay.
Fingers crossed. But yes, for anyone out there, the job positions are on the website, and they're at alaskateacher.org. That's where you go to apply. So,
there are a few more other positions other than what we just got filled.
Yeah.
And are these full-time, part-time?
These are, let's see, food service, I don't believe it's
part-time.
She's a 32, yeah.
Yeah, so 32, yeah.
Okay.
And the rest are, the rest are right around that same, those same hours.
Okay.
That one's 98.
Ms. Erica, did you just say this a minute ago when I got distracted, maybe? Certified, are we done there? Did we pull the gym back?
At this point, we are on hold with that position. So,
okay. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's mostly just a scheduling thing at this point, and it might remain to be seen what the schedule looks like and access and availability, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Motion's been made and seconded to hire the following classified personnel: Adam Ware, Carla Sosa, Augusta Pennington, Brandon Ware. Mara, please call the roll.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Katie Holman?
Yes.
Meg Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. 14.7, we have a calendar review, calendar change. Needs to be adjusted by for the 5 days that were removed from the beginning of the school year, and so our days will be made up in an adjustment of teacher in-service days. So, ultimately, it will affect kids' time.
Typically, it's after Memorial Day, so my guess is it will be that week prior to could be that Tuesday, 25th of May, but don't quote me on that. Rick, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that at this point, if your staff has talked about that at all, or if we're not even probably there yet.
No, we haven't gotten quite that far yet. We talked about finals week, you know, typically even in the winter, we do a finals schedule in the high school. And of course, at the end of the year, it's something we work around graduation for finals for those kids who are not graduating. And we've talked about not doing finals both of those times, just with, you know, different schedules and everything going on, and allowing the kind of us to teach a little longer and not stop and focus. But we haven't talked about exactly when graduation would be. I don't know. I'm certain it'll be that week, but I don't know if people would say Tuesday, or maybe they'd go as long as they could and do a Thursday, Friday. I don't know. My high school graduation was on a Saturday or Sunday or something like that. So there's a lot of options there, but I'm certain it'll be that week. We just haven't got that far yet. Good question, Cheryl.
Yeah. There's not enough time for students, like seniors, to go to school.
It's tighter than it has been, so it could potentially, you know, maybe need to be like more on Monday of that week. But yeah, we'll have to think that through. And you're right, the Saturday thing is something. Actually, look, I've noticed more the last couple of years, just announcements I've gotten or whatever, that a lot of schools do graduations on Saturday, like at 11 in the morning or something, and then they have time during the day to do other stuff with family. And I don't know, it's something that I've just seen. I don't know if other people have seen that. That's not necessarily from me as an administrator, it's just me as a person, yeah, you know, getting announcements from people. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Noon, or I don't know, something. It's just kind of different. But maybe. Then they found that, like, people traveling, mm-hmm, you know, because sometimes it gets late at night. Yeah. You know, you've got, maybe you have grandparents or whatever, and it's like, mm-hmm, 9 o'clock, and it's hard to have a,
right,
you know, a family thing out there when it's so late. So
we'll see what we're allowed, what we can do.
That's, yeah, right.
May, whether we're back in the gym.
That's right. Exactly. That may
creative
have a
again
difference as well. So, good question.
Okay. I guess we need to vote on this, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I will make a motion. Sorry. Have we made a motion already, or did we move to discussion ahead of time, Mara?
You.
Oopsie. Okay. Sorry, I was thinking, I don't remember voting to have a discussion. So I will make the motion to approve the calendar change to adjust for the 5 days that were removed from the beginning of the school year, and then making it up in adjustments through teacher in-service days. Can I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's made and seconded by Jay. Now, any further discussion or questions or comments?
One more. Erica, this is the teachers gave input, and this was what they thought also was a good way to help deal with those 5 days and meet their main concerns of face time with kids, plus all their planning that they need to do. And
yeah, and especially I think it's in the fall, people were feeling, especially secondary, I think, in that sense,
yeah,
just got a little bit more pressure, you know, because it was kind of scratched.
Yeah,
with those additional days. So yeah,
okay,
feel good about that. And then having a little bit of flexibility on these Fridays, these first few weeks, and being, mm-hmm, able to get to kids and, you know, kind of get in this, yeah.
And all of the mandatory stuff you guys got to get through, you can get through with the schedule.
Yeah. Okay.
Good question.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to change the school calendar, which, if approved, will be hopefully up on the website in the next few days or by next week, for anybody who wants to do it. Pretty much not a whole lot of change for students, really. Okay, Mara, could you call the roll, please?
Do
you need to?
Nope, you can do it.
Okay. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Okay, 15. Any additional comments from board members?
I have a question. So when we look at possibly going green on the 25th, what does that process like actually look like for administrators?
So I think the decision to start all that on like sort of that date of the 28th potentially or whatever that looks like is will be looking at that more the week before, even, mm-hmm, really, I mean, we're already working on the planning, of course, for it now, and sort of like that drop dead date of, okay, now this is when the bus schedule is going to change, this is when, you know, what lunches will look like and how that process all works. And so we'll be getting all that information out to people for sure and within that, you know, the week before, but really probably even a couple weeks before, just, you know, prepping for that. It looks like we're getting close to this, we're hoping this is going to happen, here's what it might look like, you know, let's touch base about, because it'll change things, especially for the elementary, going from those half to half, working with child care, working with transportation, and yeah, it's, elementary is more complicated all the way around, it just is, just with the little ones, you know, and really middle and high school will be simpler in that sense, just because their schedule itself won't really change that much, it will just be the time that they're physically here. Yeah, so that will be the bigger change then. So, but looking good. I mean, there's, you know, things continue to go the way they are. I don't see a reason why we're not. We're planning for that. That's the goal. So.
Okay.
Meg, did you have a question?
I do. Because I am loud advocate for our secondary students. I'm excited they're in school. This is all good and happening. I just a little bit to touch on kind of question Jay asked. One of the things that I've been pretty open about my concerns with the semester long classes is how that looks for kids to remain engaged and prepared for subsequent classes, or for kids who are starting a new class not till January, how does that work to ensure that they're prepared in January after having not been in maybe the previous class since May? So I guess I want this idea or this conversation, or maybe it could be something included in Rick's next report and just maybe a little bit more detail to keep us abreast of the planning that they're doing to ensure that those students are ready for those transitions. Or I don't know, like I'm a little worried about how we support teachers, or because that's a lot of intense time that they have to get through all that curriculum then from January to May with kids who might need more than normal catch up. Mm-hmm. Next year might be easier than this year. Anyway, so nothing that requires any input now, just something to keep in mind, and I would love if we could be updated on that as time goes, and I feel like it's something that needs to be done really mindfully, maybe, and not and proactively is what I'm hoping that we could continue to hear those plans. So that's all.
Sounds good, and we'll have even more information hopefully by our next meeting. I mean, you know, in that sense of having kids for
right.
a good chunk of time, or a little bit longer chunk of time, which would be good. A little
right.
more, probably more sense, of course, the new car smell will have worn off a little bit.
Right.
Right. You know, right, we'll all be honest about that. That's how that goes
yeah.
too, you know, with kids and everybody too. Like, everybody's really happy to be back and all that. But says, yeah, the reality of longer sessions and just, you know, protocols and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Too. So,
yeah.
I just have another question too. I was wondering with the kids, you know, we're really trying to increase the amount of time of the teachers, but if it would be possible to maybe even give PE credit for the kids, they're doing a sport, so they can concentrate, especially if they're having a problem in a subject, that they can do another semester of that, instead of taking PE for one of the four courses, especially if they're already doing basketball or cross country or track, or they're being physically active.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to have them use one of the four periods they have
mm-hmm.
If they're already involved in a sport after school or something like that.
That's an option now.
That is
oh yeah,
they can get credit.
Yeah.
It's already
sport.
Yeah,
okay.
Rick can tell you about that if you want more details.
Yeah, Jay, no, good question. We've had that conversation with students already this year as they're planning, like you said, 4 versus 7 possibilities and PEs, and is it required, you know, graduation credit for, at least they need a full credit of it. But also it's important in our kids' lives because we have active, you know, families. So kids have asked about that, you know, can I get that credit and stay active? And absolutely, we're trying to be really careful that to not set it up where, and I know you're not asking this, but for kids to say, well, you know, I'm just going to keep track of what I do at home and have mom sign or dad, you know, and of course, I'm sure kids would do that for the most part, but we're avoiding that scenario. But we do allow, if they do a sport, and this includes also being part of our great Mikoff dance troupe, they can get a quarter of a credit per sport. And so you just do two sports and you already have a 0.5 credit. And then all kids take freshman PE, and that's a 0.5 credit. So that fulfills the graduation requirements, but also if kids are doing sports, they can continue to, you know, use those kind of credits and get elective credits that well for being active. Yeah. And then of course we offer PE every period of the day, which is cool too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, sorry, this is Cheryl. So the question was, so they still, even if they're a freshman, they still have to take PE, right? They have to have a semester of PE before, or a year of PE before they get credit for having a sport for PE?
Yeah, the freshman PE is required, and part of that is it trains them, you know, on how to use the weight equipment, obviously how to stretch, and I know a lot of our kids are good middle school athletes and have that, but we also don't allow them to, so the sports of their freshman year, 90% on this, that those, they don't get the quarter credit. It counts on the sophomore, junior, and senior year for those quarter credit, because freshmen already take that PE class, and that is opposite health, which is also required class for lots of good reasons.
Taking like a semester of PE and a semester of health, or I mean, or something.
Just like they did before, but now it's obviously condensed, so they're getting that PE pretty quick, and they're getting that health pretty quick for because it is, it's fourth period, I believe, in the schedule, which is a block, so
Oh, okay.
So it does leave them open to take another class that second half of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments? Upcoming dates and media announcements are academic as well as it'll be updated. activities calendar can be viewed on the school website. You can either do a Google search for Petersburg School District, Petersburg, Alaska, or ccsd.us.
You can also find the lunch calendar.
Oh, the lunch calendar. You might want to remind
people the lunch is
free.
Free.
As well as breakfast, students. Right?
Yep. That just came through. They extended the summer food service meal waiver process in through December, so we don't know what will happen after that, but and there's some times we've announced those, so I should remind people of those too, but there's some opportunities for people to pick up meals. We're asking people to do it for all ages at the elementary school at the cafeteria there, because if they have that's the largest group there, so I'm gonna say the wrong thing and Carly's gonna be like, oh, don't tell people that. I believe it's Monday through Thursday, 12:30 to 1. And then Friday, there's a little longer amount of time, like 11 to 12:30.
And Carly did send out a mass email to all families with that information.
Yeah, and we posted those on Facebook too, so they're all on each of the school pages. So if you want to check those out too, that's out there. So
are kids allowed to bring lunches from home as well?
They can. Yes.
Kind of on the lunch thing too, and I know it's not directly like a school district thing, but did I read that I think it was state funding for food for kids got extended, right?
Yes.
You could apply now through like the 15th
of September. Yeah.
Okay, so that was extended.
Yep.
So, and like every student here would apply because we gave free meals out.
I think anybody that is, yes, you can contact the number. There's a text, a phone number, and an email that I think you can connect with, and they'll help you through that process.
A follow-up on that. Yeah, it was a little confusing because it put out the thing that says you can apply, and one of the criteria says if you attend a school that is already receiving free meals, which previously that was our high school only.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at a family who would otherwise be over income for that program, it was unclear if we should all do the paperwork. Like, does that help the school, even if we know individually we're over income because we're going to a school that's getting the free meals?
Yes, fill out those.
Okay. So everybody should be going.
Everybody
on
should
and
fill
doing
out the free reduced forms for sure.
Okay.
Absolutely, because you never know, and those numbers do help us with the federal funding overall and those programs. But yes, please do that. And then the other program, though, I would still encourage people to get in there and check out, you know, that too, because I think it's like 400 and
like $450 or something on a
debit. That was the thing I was talking about, because it specifically said if your child attends a school that is getting free meals, and so at that time when that first came out, it was only our high school. So it's like if a family knows, okay, I don't qualify, we're over income or whatever. Mm-hmm. However, my student attends this school that's already meeting this criteria.
Well, I think some of it, though, I think on my letter it said that if your school district gave out free meals,
yep,
during that shutdown, you qualify.
Okay.
It's the way I read the letter anyway, so hopefully I'm not wrong.
So people should take that, because I just ignored it thinking, oh, I don't know if I really need to do this, but so maybe we should revisit that.
I would check it out.
Okay.
And I can't speak totally to that one because I don't know all the details of it, but but I would definitely encourage people to check it out because it could be a benefit for families. Mm-hmm. So
I have two other comments. One, really quick, I just looked at her email, Monday through Thursday, 12:15. Wait, 12:15 to 1 and 11 to 1 on Friday.
I was close.
You were close. And then finally, we had voted as a board to subsidize some money for breakfast, but is that overridden with this, or are we still contributing that money that we approved?
That's a good question. It may be overridden by this, at least through December. I mean, there could be this additional, additional opportunity, I think, to be reimbursed now. So
okay.
That money could be used for
other
things, which is great.
Are we still just kind of waiting to see what the details are of these in order to answer that question?
No, that would be true. I mean, she won't need it through that if we're able to participate in the summer, the guidelines that they had for the waivers for the summer food service. So she just has to do all of her paperwork for that. There's a lot more paperwork for that too, for waivers. So, but Carly's got it. She's on it. She's always on it. So, yeah, keeping us going. They're working hard.
Okay. Any other comments or questions or the future agenda items? And then we just want to continue the conversation on how secondary is doing and how they're transitioning, because they are by far probably the hardest in our change.
I guess one thing I'd like is the reading block they've got now for kids in the secondary. I didn't know if that, what the purpose was of that. I mean, obviously getting to read, but it seems like time when they could be with their teachers, so it would be better spent in instruction rather than reading. But that's something we may want to talk about.
They fight hard for that one. I'll let Rick talk to you about that.
Yeah, put on your armor, Jay. That's a good one.
Okay.
No, actually, in this climate, it's a great question, because reading's obviously awesome, but so are other subjects as well. We're actually pretty booked with it right now because we've been using a lot of our positive behavior intervention support lessons style. For example, today we did the one on fire drill and evacuation because we'll have fire drills this week. We did a bunch of them last week to prepare for, you know, hand washing and all that type of stuff. We also have the social emotional learning curricula, and they're different in the high school as Can Do You, and middle school uses Second Step. So you can kind of have those conversations with kids, and we do those during read block. And then we also are going to start doing some of these mindfulness, which is just kind of a few minutes of just taking a breath, you know, grounding themselves, and then they'll get some reading. And that's also when they eat their breakfast. So a lot of things kind of packed into that, ends up being about 20 to 25 minutes, depending on you're in high school or middle school time. Does that help?
It's not really a reading block, more of an...
Well, right now...
It's like our version of homeroom.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like advisory period right now. And unfortunately, there's so many logistical things that have to be provided instruction for right now that it's being eaten up by that. But it will eventually be more of like an every other, you know, day, more reading. And then it might be a SEL lesson, might be a mindfulness lesson, might be another PBIS protocol lesson. It's a time when they can have a smaller group.
Okay. Maybe we just talk about that next one on the agenda. Just see if that's the right use of time or whatever work is
good. Revisit that. Any other new business?
Are we allowed to read that comment from Heather?
Oh, yeah, I can say that.
It's exciting.
Borough just reached out, and they had a meeting today, I believe, and they are going to fund the community, the child care assistance program that I believe was applied to Bird Mental Health and Petersburg Community Foundation will be working through logistics, so that's exciting for families, too.
Mm-hmm. And so they'll send out information on that, but kind of how it's, how we've been talking about setting this up is families that are impacted by COVID for childcare, which we all are right now in the elementary setting anyway, because our school schedule is different, where if you need assistance, you'll fill out a really simple form every month, and it will come out in $100 increments paid directly to your childcare center, up to, I think, $500 a month is what we had discussed. So it could be a huge help to families. So keep your eye open for that information, and I'm sure Petersburg Mental Health and the Community Foundation, probably Joni, is helping with that a lot. So they'll be reaching out to families. It is a good thing.
Katie, is that income-based, or I'll use the term needs, because your needs are different regardless of your income. But.
When we've been discussing this, we have said that we don't really want it to be income-based.
Okay.
And part of the reason is for that, because child care assistance, a lot of families make just above that cutoff. And so we think if people are saying they're impacted by COVID, if they need help, that's what we got to do for kids. And so that's our goal.
Yeah.
I don't think that's changed. So hopefully I'm not saying the wrong information.
Yeah.
But the goal is to get the money to the families that can use it to keep those kids in safe spaces outside of school time. So I'm glad to hear that note.
Any other new business? Okay, seeing none, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Have a good evening.